Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is a Four Center podcast feed. I'm Ken Napsok for another edition of Star Wars Ranked. Me and a guest ranking things in Star Wars. Let's get right to it. Joining us today is Joseph Scribshaw for the episode he was born to be on. How are you?
I am so very happy to be here in this podcast world talking about this topic.
This topic is best Palpatine lines. Now, we're saying lines, but that also does kind of mean moments, and it might even get to sequences, but we're trying to go to lines because otherwise, man, I don't know, Joseph, we just would have every scene that Palpatine said.
Yeah, this was, honestly, we often say that a Star Wars ranked was difficult. This was the most difficult one for me ever because I always make my list of like, well, what should I consider? What could be a runner up? What could be the top five? I was getting to that point of like, I am just like, you know, a court reporter writing down everything he says in every scene, and that's not going to work.
That's exactly it. I was up until the time that I emailed you my list and we were getting ready to meet up to record here digitally, I was still like watching clips going, man, no, that one. But then what does that one have more meaning, or do I just like the sound and delivery of it? Like, what is it? It's just there's a lot. And I want to start, Joseph, from that point. we both love Emperor Sheev Palpatine, which is weird to say. Embodiment of evil. A lot has to do with Ian McDiarmid coming in there, Return of the Jedi, first time on screen, right? And just kind of just the way he approaches it, the way he just chews up the scenery with every line. There's just, I think that's where the love starts, right?
Absolutely. I think in terms of meeting him and meeting the character, for sure. And I think every little bit of his character that expands, even getting to see his totally different face as Senator Sheev Palpatine in Phantom Menace, everything just flows from that first performance. And what I love about that performance, and therefore love about Palpatine, is he's just a lot of what Star Wars is baked into one character. He is this symbol of evil and all of the different ramifications of evil, of the idea of greed and loving power for power's sake and assuming that compassion is a failure, and that that politics and trying to work together is just a way to manipulate people and use them. He's all these great ideas about evil. And then he is just a weird scenery chewing dark wizard who giggles and shoots stuff out of his fingers. He's ridiculous. And his lines are both ridiculous and powerful and meaningful all at the same time.
Absolutely, man. And you're going to be hearing this a lot today. Because even the cackle counts. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm so glad that we got to see him in the prequels, and I'm so glad we got to see him in Rise of Skywalker, because, Joseph, there's some things from that movie that are without a doubt going to be on our list, because he's the big bad. He is the evil. He is evil. And capital E, and to have him back and to close it out, I'm thankful for it, and have a lot of gratitude for Emperor showing up, as wild and just bonkers as it was. And I know we all don't have a blueprint, a step by step of how he came back. I, though, am just glad he came back.
Yep. From the Phantom Menace to the Blatant Menace, I am glad that Sheev Palpatine cloned himself and threw his spirit into another body, and, you know, yeah, all the things he had to do.
So let's get ready. Now is the time.
Now you will experience the full power of the dark side.
We are gonna dive on in, Joseph, beginning with your number five.
My number five, you know, you set this up well, Ken. I tried to pick lines that were both meaningful, but also I just loved the delivery, because Ian McDiarmid is a brilliant actor having a great time. So my number five, I start with Senator of Naboo, Sheev Palpatine, in one of his first moments where we, the audience, know, oh, that can't be good, but the people in the room don't realize it yet. It is the line, "You could call for a vote of no confidence." And I love it for what it represents. For this is Sheev Palpatine pretending to be a good and understanding politician, pretending to be sad that the Republic doesn't work anymore, pretending to help his home planet of Naboo, all in this effort to get this sympathy vote, which he does. And Ian McDiarmid is such a great actor, and the way he leans on the "you could" is just dancing right on the edge of, is that too much? And that's what Palpatine is. He's always dancing on the edge of, is that too much? Are you tipping your hand too much? The way he's trying to sell it to Padme is like, this probably isn't a good idea, but I mean, I guess you could stick your hand into the jar of snakes if you really thought that was absolutely necessary. You could. And I love it for all those layers.
It's I almost want the robot chicken scene of him and Masa Maeda, and Palpatine's going, was that a little much? That was probably too much. Yeah, you're right. I should pull.
Yeah, that was not the full power of the dark side yet, right? He's got to hold it back a little bit.
Yeah, but what I love about this choice to lead us off here is the over-the-top nature of Palpatine all through every one of his appearances. This vaudevillian villain, this full gothic bad guy. I think this is another example of same thing going over the top in the other way. Exactly what you're describing of and the jokes you're making of is too much. It is the same, because that's who he is. That's who Palpatine is. So it's very fun to see, again, the love that we saw in Phantom Menace. Just we saw the Sheev of it all. We get to see it on display. And yeah, there's some great Sidious stuff that we get to see, but I love that we just get to see this nice old man with swept back hair just kind of working his evil magic in this kind of way.
Yeah. Yeah. And even if he does kind of get called out, even if, I mean, in Padme does disrupt his plans, but even if Padme's like, all right, you're a politician. That was a real politician thing to say. That is still a successful mask of like, okay, if that was a little shady, well, you know, he's a politician. He's going to do things like that every once in a while. Try to make me think, you know, that my idea or that his idea was actually my idea, you know?
Love it. Great way to start. Yeah, there's so many things to pull from there, but him working his magic back then and a great way to start the list here. We'll go to my number five, and it's one word. One word, Joseph. My number five. I thought, am I being too cute including this? This is like when you list some your favorite albums and you sneak in a new album from a new artist to try to... Nope, this is... I'm standing by it because I love the opening sequence of The Rise of Skywalker. I always say Exegol to me is going into the heart of darkness. It is Mordor. It is the Night King coming down. It's all these great examples of big... evil, sometimes evil for evil's sake, and it is just gothic horror. I love the opening sequence, and it all comes to a... there's some great lines in it all the way through, which I'm sure we'll talk about, but I love Kylo Ren putting his blade in Palpatine's face and asking, what can you give me? The lightning crashes, crackles, a pause, and just with a big booming voice, everything. That, to me, is just... It's not quite unlimited power, all these other big lines, but it's the spirit of it, and it's the lie, and it's the carrot dangled in front of a lot of these characters. He even tries with Rey later on. You. At one point, I was watching the sequence today when he's like, yeah, just strike me down. You'll get that fleet. I'm like, when does Rey want a fleet? When has she ever said I'd like to have started? But here he is. He's dangling, and I just think it's so great. It sets the tone, and you had made that. We talked about it, an observation that I think just, you know, one of those little tiny ones that did slip by me a little bit of just, you know, Kylo being afraid. It says it in the crawl. It's a threat to him. But just like after this, it's like he's got to run to put the mask on.
Yeah.
And Kylo wants everything, but he wants it on his own terms. He wants to be the one in power. And now he's threatened. And so it's a really intriguing moment because I think Kylo at that moment falls for it. He clearly did. He goes back to his mates and says, hey, you know, we can increase our fleet here, as Pride would say, 10,000-fold. So I don't know, man. It's gothic horror, and I love it. Everything.
Yeah, we needed something from that opening scene for sure, because that is, it's a, even I have, you know, friends who don't like the movie who go like, yeah, but that is an awesome opening scene, and that all that horror mood and the flashes of lightning and that sound design on that lightning. Oh, man, I love it so much. But this is a great line to pick because I think it is great delivery and great meaning. Just from a delivery point, like I imagine there's a conversation where Ian's like to JJ, like, hey, What syllable in the word everything do you think I should underline? And JJ's like, all of them. He's like, Ian McDermott's like, great, got it. Everything. It's so great. Delivery, dancing on the edge of being over the top. But that's the point. Yeah. But yeah, I love the meaning. And that's for me, like one of those moments in Rise of Skywalker that are so in tune with the history and philosophy of Star Wars. That's what Sith want. That's what the dark side wants. It's just greed that wants to consume everything. It's why the dark side can't just be like, hey, it will be in balance. It's the dark side wants more. And for Sidious to have that understanding that when Kylo is consumed by the darkness, that's all he can think of. Like, well, I have this much and I'm not happy yet. So I want more and I'll take more and I'll take more. So what will I offer? You know, the logical end of the Sith path. I will give you everything, and I will give you enough power that you can conquer this galaxy, and then you can find more galaxies, and you can just keep conquering and conquering and stay angry and never look back. And it's really, really powerful. And then I think on the flip side of it, with that fleet, you know, he's trying to manipulate Rey in a different way of, You can tell them to stop killing your friends.
Yeah.
but that's all they're good for. But for in this moment, for Kylo, it's I will give you what every Darksider wants, everything. And yeah, and I think you're totally right that Kylo wants it, but not the way that Palpatine's going to give it to him. So he's going to just get rid of Palpatine and take everything.
Everything. It's also just what is at stake in this movie. It's everything. It is the galaxy needing to rise up, right? It is legacies. It is just literally what is this movie about? Everything in Star Wars that came before. I think it's from his mouth. Everything. Boom. So that is my number five. We're up to your number four.
My number four is one of, to me, the classic Palpatine Sidious lines, again, because it's funny. I would argue it is one of the funniest lines, but it also has, like, true meaning to me, and it is, do it. So just quickly on the comedy of it, there's great comedy and just, like, the simple contrast, because he has the a politician voice. And he's like, when he, right before, he's like, Anakin, kill him. And he says something evil, and you get that great look of alarm from Dooku. Yeah. But it's just a simple transition from, well, I talk about like this. No, I don't. And it's like, that is the moment where Sidious gets Anakin to do his first bit of vengeful, angry killing for him. So, of course, the true voice of Sidious would come out. It's so both funny because of that great transition and so meaningful because the mask is really slipping. And there's even that, like, there's moments in Revenge of the Sith where he's like, he enjoys Anakin's evil, almost that creepy level of like, I can feel your anger. And I feel like he's in that moment of like, not only does he want Anakin to do it for his plans, just like, he's evil and he just betrayed Dooku. And he can't wait to watch his head roll because it's fun for him. Do it.
It is. Oh, man, I'm going to bizarre places with this. Because, yeah, the unintentional comedy level I get is high. But everything you're describing, it just reads for me. He can't contain himself. He can't contain himself. And it is like, I don't know, it's an old creepy guy at a strip club in a corner going, take it off. Sir, no touching. You've got to get out of here. Okay. It is the seams are starting to crack. Like it's, if an egg's hatching, you know, like this is the cracks are forming here and it's so clear and it's played for that. It's just played for that so well. And Revenge of the Sith, man, every step of the way, he is just having fun with it. And I think we're at a place now with the fandom where we get, not only was that kind of the point, but we get enjoying it. But I do remember having those conversations coming out of 2005 of just like, oh, and he's screaming and he's this and that. And it's like, yeah, he's the emperor.
he's a real evil dark wizard. Yeah. Yeah. And I was delighted in The Rise of Skywalker that there is a do it.
There is.
Yeah. So not as great as the first original do it, but still great to have a second do it. Do it. Do it.
This list, it would be incomplete without do it. Right.
That is right. So that's my number four. Do it.
A final note on that. I have your notes. You've spelled it properly. Do it. D-O-I-T. How many times do you spell it? D-E-W.
Do it. Yes, I absolutely want Palpatine to do an actual Mountain Dew commercial. And hold up a gun. He's like, do it. Have you been gaming? Do it.
Love that choice. Number four is that's your choice. Number four. My number four is going to Revenge of the Sith. I noticed on my notes, I just put the wrong movie. A lot of R's and T's, but Revenge of the Sith. I think there is a setup to a line. There's a line that comes after this that is a favorite for a lot of people, and I think it is. And that is the then it's you know, treason then, which is just so soft and sweet. And all right, I'm about to kill you all. I just love. Are you threatening me, Master Jedi? Which of course sets up the I am the Senate line. I think it's underrated. I think it has its due. Don't get me wrong, but I think it is such a, it is that mask. The mask's hanging around his neck, right?
Like, yeah.
He's about to get kicked out of a Walgreens with his mask down by his neck. Um, he, But it's history. There's history there. There's history with Mace. There's history with these Jedi he hates. And for just, it's like, this is the moment. And it's almost like, not that he's given him one final second to stand down. I think he knows what's coming here, but it's like, there is that you could read into this. Just like, is this it? Is this the moment? You doing this, Mace? Are you threatening me? Then we're going to change the game here. And I just think there's a lot of just there's a lot of tension in the moment. Great delivery. And it's subtle. Of all the over the top stuff we're talking about, it's got a strain of that, but it is a last second of calm before the absolute chaos that's about to emerge just in the rest of the story, not just.
Yeah, that's a great pick. I mean, yeah, I Am the Senate is absolutely iconic, but I really like Are You Threatening Me, Master Jedi? Because I also just read the subtext of it as, are you playing exactly into my hands, Master Jedi?
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that he's been really maneuvering Anakin, and you got to believe lots of other people into believing, like, the Jedi are really unhappy with the Republic. They're really, I keep making just totally innocent suggestions for the benefit of the Republic, and they keep really pushing back. They want more power, and he's building up within all of his plans within plans for the Clone Wars. He's building up to this. They attacked me. And, you know, I appreciate more and more these Sith plans that are to cause your opponent to think that they are making a choice when really you have pushed them into making this not great choice. And Are You Threatening Me, Master Jedi is like totally like, are you going to do a reasonable, logical thing so then I can do a blatantly evil thing? Thanks.
Yep. Yeah, it is. It's his it's his limited liability clause.
It is.
I was reviewing plans for a weapon to, you know, destroy the galaxy planet by planet down the line. I just thought it was a good option for us, and I got threatened. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a plausible deniability clause here, too.
Yes. Are you giving me a plausible deniability, Master Jedi?
So that, yeah. And then, yeah, you have to include I Am Senate is the beat right after, which is delicious. And also, and I didn't click on it. There was a YouTube video that I saw that was just like a thumbnail. It was like, I Am the Senate. Was Palpatine really all the Senate? And I was like, I mean, I want to click on that. but I just, it is also one of those, like, Kit Fisto or one of the Jedi there, I would have looked around and be like, he's all the Senate? Like, yeah, I know what he means. I know at the moment, but it is just so one of those bizarrely, I am the Senate. Like, it is James Coburn in Young Guns 2. You think you're the Scourge of New Mexico? Well, by God, I am New Mexico. Like, what? Okay, let's do it. So.
Yeah, no, I think that it is that mask has fallen. And at first he's like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know I was supposed to wear a mask in Walgreens. Actually, screw you.
This is a viral video. Oh, that's great. So that's my number four. We're up to your number three.
My number three is a twofer in Revenge of the Sith and The Rise of Skywalker. And that is the dark side of the Force is a pathway to many abilities some consider to be unnatural.
Oh, yeah.
This is, you know, this was the hardest thing of this, making these lists. Sometimes, you know, we say, hey, it's our favorite. And maybe sometimes we say best. You know, it's subjective, but you want to include the big ones. But there's so many little ones I like. But this one, it's a big one, but I couldn't ignore it. I watched the opera scene three times. I love the opera scene, right? And every line in the opera scene could be in this list for me. Oh, but yeah. This one, in this slow dance in Revenge of the Sith to slowly reveal himself to Anakin, this line is so powerful because it's dancing so close to the truth, and it is so manipulative, right?
Yeah.
That he's dangling this thing that he knows Anakin absolutely needs. Anakin is going to make bad choices based over this desperation to make sure that Padme lives, and Anakin's selfish need to make sure he lives. So he's dangling that specific carrot, but also just, in this, he is saying, hey, there's this whole slew of powers and abilities. Who knows who else you could help? What other greatness you can do? But you're being held back by the Jedi because they don't let you explore the dark side. It's just a pathway to some other abilities. And then on top of it, to say some consider to be unnatural. So on the one hand, he's like, yeah, no, I mean, that's kind of the point of the dark side is we do whatever we want. You know, we don't care if it's natural. We will rip the minerals out of that planet. We don't care. The dark side takes what the dark side wants to take. But by couching it in, some consider to be unnatural, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's like saying, you know, some consider robbing Walgreens to be a criminal action. But isn't the problem the people who simply have a narrow view of the point of Walgreens? You know, it's like, I like that Walgreens is our go-to this week.
We're picking on Walgreens today.
Picking on Walgreens, but it's so, it's that perfect, it's, you know, in the middle of his transition throughout this film between letting the mask fall, and it is still so political. And so Sheev Palpatine, wise mentor, and pulling back the face of to actual Sidious of saying, this is the dark side. The dark side is the path to do whatever you want. Mm. And I love that that is the way he delivers this manipulation, the way the actual line is delivered in Revenge of the Sith, that just the some consider to be unnatural, and kind of pops it up there and lets it hang a little bit.
Yeah, dangles.
Dangles, a dangling unnatural. And I know it didn't work for some people, and as always, I respect that. But I think to come back to that line in The Rise of Skywalker, it's not only just a great acknowledgement of the prequels, which I really do like in future Star Wars storytelling, but it's him kind of following through on, I was BSing Anakin up to a point, but yeah, no, this is a legitimate part of the dark side is, you Jedi think death is natural and you're want to, you know, peacefully go when it's your time and shrug your shoulders. And the dark side says, no, I will cling. I will survive no matter what. And it's just naive fools who want to peacefully follow nature. You know, yeah. I am nature. I decide nature. And to see that he has survived, but it looks like in a miserable, gross, unnatural, you know, pasty, whited out eyes, you know, weird marks around his lips dangling from a claw machine. That's clearly unnatural. Some consider to be unnatural. Get a mirror, Palpatine. Clearly unnatural.
Here's the reading of the line.
The dark side of the Force is a pathway to many abilities some consider to be unnatural.
Oh, so good. Just rolls it over. I love the opera scene. Yeah, you're right. This could be a list of the opera scene. This could be a list of the Return of the Jedi throne room scene. Those are the two, probably the biggest Palpatine scenes in all the movies. I love that this can be connected to Rise of Skywalker. And JJ said it in the interviews, you know, he was being kind of cheeky, but oh, that was one of my favorite scenes. You know, like, oh, what do you got cooking, JJ? But it pays off. What Palpatine was saying in Sith, not just with this, but, you know, when he's talking to Anakin, turned Vader and just like, the power to defeat death is, what's the actual line? I didn't write it down for this list is something that only one has learned, right? Like,
yeah, but together I'm sure we can unlock the secret. I'm paraphrasing, but already he's starting to walk it back because before it was just like, oh yeah, that guy knew how to do it. We'll look it up.
Yeah.
And now it's like, I'm sure if we work together, we can someday figure it out.
It's like I was up late last night watching videos on how to make tofu burgers. Like, it's all I got to do. Just watch the video. We'll be all right. But it pays it off. Dark science, cloning, secrets only the Sith knew. Well, this is what the Sith like. This is what the Sith want to do. It does track that Palpatine would be like, number one, I'm a Sith. I can't accept a new phase of my life. That includes death. I can't let go. I will hold on to it. I want everything, even if that means I'm a claw guy and I'm hanging there like with no legs dangling and bony fingers. My bones are poking out. This is what I want. And so it is a continuation of some of the stuff set out here in the Revenge of the Sith. And this line, and again, how it's used and how it's just used to turn Anakin is why I think a lot of people, we just love that scene. And you said, one of the first things you said is this sprinkle of truth, you know, and just enough, and that's how things can get you. Mm-hmm. But you're right, the Jedi don't like sorcery. What? You're right. I never thought about it in those terms. Like, just so like they don't like greed. What's up with that? If you're in that mind, you're going down that path. This is where Palpatine really shines. And that's why everything about McDiarmid in that scene is him thinking he's relishing killing Plagueis in his mind. You know?
McDiarmid, it's ironic.
Yeah. He's just like, do it. Of the time. So he's just rolling the words. He's taking the time with the sentence, and it's one of the great ones for a reason. And again, I'm glad it gets paid off a bit in Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah. Yeah. He expertly sets up the Jedi as hypocrites who, you know, also want power and are also bending their own rules when something's happening that they don't like. So by the time he gets to this line of some considered to be unnatural, what should just sound like BS is like, maybe the Jedi are full of crap.
Yeah.
Powerful.
Powerful. Powerful choice. At number three, we're going to my number three, and we're sticking in the same movie just a little bit later after a lot of his plans fall into place. When he addresses everybody. And this sets up one of Padme's all-time great lines. But his speech, his woe is me. I was just threatened, but I will survive. And I'll do it because I want to give you all a safe and secure society. I do that line a lot on here. I love it. Fun to say. I'm not saying I have a good Palpatine voice, but it's fun to do Palpatine lines, even around the house to your chihuahuas. It's a thing. But what I love about this line, Joseph, it's a great shot. It's a great sequence. Again, the Padme, this is how Liberty dies with thunderous applause. You're watching it. It's kind of Lucas getting to the point, but because that, it's also Palpatine getting to his public point. This is a Sheev moment for me, just as much as a Sidious or Palpatine moment, because this is the lie he just successfully sold, you know? And people start to realize it's a false lie. But I think of some of the characters that I even love, Rey Sloan, her path to working for the Empire, being in the Empire, believing in a version of the Empire comes from my neighborhood, my planet, my city, everything about my life was not safe. It was not secure. And then the Empire showed up. See, it works. And a lot of people through some of the modern storytelling kind of they're not believing in Sidious. They're believing in what Palpatine said in this moment. It is the poster line. A safe and secure society. And it's easy to hide behind that shield to hide a lot of wrongs. And so that's why I love this line. It's a great quote, great scene, great shot. It is over the top in its own way, but it's the lie that at least for a while worked on the galaxy.
Yeah. Oh, that it's so great because it is such, throughout history, you can find moments of this, of that exact propaganda that a safe and secure society is what everybody, of course, wants. So somebody promising that is coming from this great place of strength. But then in the unique story of Star Wars, the story that Lucas really wants to tell us is Palpatine, we talked about already, he lures the Jedi into wanting to arrest him and threaten him. And then he can claim, play victim that he was scarred and it now needs to have this safe and secure society. And that's the story across the galaxy of him basically standing up and going, look at all these problems. Look at the separatists. Look at the Jedi. Look at all this war. Look at all these planets that are being ravaged. Don't you want me to protect you from that? Oh, also, I literally specifically caused all of that. And I think that Star Wars is such a great entry point to discuss a real, which you bring up with Rey Sloan a lot, a real, honest, great discussion of the balance between freedom and security. And it's a thing societies wrestle with all the time and have to. But the story of Star Wars and the cautionary tale of Star Wars is, are those threats real? Or did a dictator cause them? Mm. And that, to me, is what really makes not just the whole great speech, not just the really obvious, like, yeah, the Jedi didn't just attack you to overthrow you, and it's not poor you, you were scarred. He did all of that on a galactic scale. He caused the war. You know, the Separatists had legitimate problems, but he incited it with Dooku. He caused the Jedi to get involved in the war, and on and on and on. He thinned the Jedi out so the Jedi could have been around helping people in the galaxy. keep the peace. But he destroyed all of that. And then there he is with the weird cup hands gesture that I like so much. Going, I am the one who can keep you safe from me and all the things I did.
Yeah. Well, and that whole sequence, man, it is it's a lesson in sound bites being taken as fact or taken as you know, how to kind of get your message over. He's his own great PR man, and how sometimes just a good bumper sticker might work, you know, and Palpatine's just rolling out these bumper stickers. I got a safe and secure society for you. She even 2024, you know, like it works on so many levels. And again, just fun to say, including the cup hands.
Absolutely. Do those cup hands. And yeah, you can go to your chihuahuas and say, for a safe and secure dinner tonight.
I do provide them a safe and secure society. We're going on to your number two as we work our way towards the best Palpatine lines.
My number two, I wanted to make sure that I included something from the original, from the classic, from Return of the Jedi. It was extremely hard for me to narrow down from all of Return of the Jedi, but the big throne room scene, what it was. And I quieted my mind and I listened to my heart. And I think my very favorite is, you want this, don't you? Again, because it's funny. You know, I love the story of how Ian McDiarmid made his choices of Lucas and Marquand were just like, he's an evil guy. And Ian McDiarmid, Shakespearean trained, you know, British actor, like, okay, I'll do this. And even within that villainous voice that stays down here, there starts to be all of these little variations. And you want this, don't you? Is one of those variations where it's tempting to call it subtle in comparison to some of the other things he says, but it's not really. It's so dry. You want this, don't you? So I love that from a delivery perspective. But then I love just the power of that lightsaber. We talk a lot about the moment where Luke chooses to throw it aside. And we talk a lot about the moment where Luke sees Vader's severed hand and the sparking wrist, and he looks at his own mechanical hand. But the importance in the symbolic thematic dance of Return of the Jedi in this line, where we're introduced in A New Hope to the lightsaber as it is, you know, an elegant weapon for a more civilized age. It's the hero's weapon. It is the sword of a knight. It's presented to us as a very good thing. And Return of the Jedi really complicates that between, you know, Vader igniting that blade and earlier in this scene, Palpatine going, oh, a lightsaber, very similar to your father's, and kind of making that similar argument that he does in the opera box. The Jedi and the Sith aren't that different. And then by the time we get to you want this, don't you, the lightsaber becomes, instead of this symbol of hope and, you know, an elegant weapon for a more civilized age, it's a symbol of violence. It is a symbol of what the dark side wants. It wants you to fight. It is the temptation to solve things with violence. And it pays off great with Luke's decision. But a part of power of that decision is this line of the temptation of, your friends are in danger. You feel trapped and fooled. All you want to do is lash out, right? Mm. You want this, don't you? It's so great because it's not just the lightsaber. It's you want the quicker, easier path, don't you?
Absolutely. And when Luke does fall for those moments, just kind of some of the reactions of Palpatine, us all through that throne room sequence of just kind of his smug laughter. You know, kind of like, oh yeah, I did it. I did it again. Good old Palpy. He's looking off to the corner at Simalu. Hey.
Yeah, he's got this like, yeah, it took me, a while to work on Anakin. I can bend Luke in a day.
Yeah, no, and it's one of those, again, works on a lot of levels in terms of just a fun line to say. He's got so many just deliveries in the throne room sequence that are memorable for a reason, and it worked us on us as young fans. But I don't mean to take the conversation too negative, but like I think you could miss that, and I think it's 7, 8, 9, 10 or whenever you see that, you can miss it. Like, yeah, get the lightsaber. You get the lightsaber. And the moment Luke does, it is a point against him. And it is a small victory for Palpatine in that moment, which leads to the Luke's final toss in the blade. But you know what I mean? So it's like, That's why I love this moment so well. It's so much. It is, and it's fun to say. It's fun to say, but the weight of the moment. I'm so glad you touched on it.
Yeah, and the way he taps the lightsaber, there's also this element of Palpatine that's like super scary grandparent that you visit when you're really young and you don't quite understand what it is to be old anymore, and it's got this like kind of like. Yeah. You visit your scary grandpa and he's like touching hard candies and like, you want these, don't you?
Yes, a Werther's original, please. Yeah, no, absolutely. Totally agree with that. Oh, great choice. I just want to watch that sequence again. Well, that is your number two.
And my number two.
We're up to my number two. And as we started to record, I looked at this and I'm like, is this what I'm sticking with? Do I like this? And it's so tied to something else with one of your runner-ups, I don't want to step on that moment. I'm sticking with it because there's a lot of runner-ups. I love it's not just a line, but it is a moment. I might actually try to play it here because it's queued up. Rise of Skywalker, nothing will stop the return of the Sith, followed by the best lightning bolt blast ever. So let's see, like,
attack my faithful.
Let's see, he's going.
Nothing will stop the return of the Sith.
Oh yeah, that's good stuff. It's just,
oh god,
guttural, dark, and it is a victory. It is the spirit of the man who wanted this, never wanted to leave it, and wants everything. And it also, as you've always said, the blatant menace. There's no shadows. There's no hiding. You're in a temple of Sith. You're in a temple of Sith Eternal, Sith cultists. Real or not, whoever is actually in the crowd, I've never been worried about those details. It is just the spirit of generations of evil. And that's what he is. And here he is. Nothing's going to stop it. Nothing's going to stop it. And for a moment, one brilliant sound design-y visual effects moment, he has it. And it's darkness. And I love it.
Yeah. I'm so glad that you included that. I love the ongoing play on the return versus revenge. That was a great thing. Mm-hmm. Even if it's a little meta, I don't care. I really, really like it. And then we needed some lightning moments, right? And this is that great escalation to have that lightning be so incredibly powerful to shoot its way all the way into the sky. And gives us that great tracking shot of the lightning coming to back down, which I know a ton of people love. But it's also just, I love not only the line of nothing will stop the return of the Sith, but the image of it of, I like to think of the Jedi as the shield of, like, when they're working right, something awful is happening and they step in between it. And that's, you know, kind of what ends up happening, right? Like that lightning's going up into the sky and Rey steps in between the people and the evil.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. We are the shields that guard the realm. Oh, but it works. It works, and it's frightening. It is, and even, I don't, you know, sometimes I can watch a story where I'm pretty sure I know one side's going to lose and the other side's going to win. You know, I think that's okay. It's the journey there, and it's the spices in that meal on the way there. And this is just one of those big moments for me. We're like, yeah, relish it, Sheev, whatever you are, because it ain't yours. And it sets up, to me, it helps make the victory earned.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
All right. That is my number two. We're going to take a quick break because we're going to have to just reset. We have got some honorable mentions. Oh, you better believe we do. And then Joseph and I will give you our number one choice for the best Palpatine lines. Stick around, my friends. This is Star Wars Ranked.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, 4 Center friends, make sure you're keeping up to date on all the great content from Jennifer Landa. Whether it's YouTube, Instagram, or TikTok, you whippersnappers, 4 Center's own Jennifer Landa continues to bring you fun, informative, and insightful laughs and moments.
Also, Jennifer brings her experience and perspective as a Star Wars-loving mother to her DIY projects, blogs, and more. So be sure to head on over to JennyLanda.com, that's JennyLanda.com, for articles like how to make your own Darth Maul sneakers or 10 unique Star Wars baby gift ideas.
Follow Jen on Twitter and Instagram at Jennifer Landa and on TikTok as JenniferLanda1138. Hey, 4 Center fans, don't forget 4 Center is on YouTube. Head over there to catch up with our new show, Star Wars Show and Tell. Joseph, Jennifer, Ken, and special guests sit down and share favorite items from their own Star Wars memorabilia collections. Plus, there's the In Memoriam video series, encore presentations of Databank Brawl, and special programming all there for you, and more shows on the way. It's 4 Center on YouTube. Check it out. Welcome back to Star Wars Rank. We are ranking the best lines from Palpatine. Sheev, the Emperor, Sidious, doesn't matter. We are here today. Joseph Scrimshaw is with me, and we're going through one of our favorite characters. And I know it's shared, which is, again, just weird to say. But again, people people have been cheering for Darth Vader for years, and maybe not part of the point, but we definitely understand that his lines are important, Joseph, because as we've been discussing, not just fun to say, not just big over the top film moments and story moments, but also just have deep meaning and purpose to them. And they're part of the Star Wars lessons.
That is right. I truly, truly love to hate Palpatine in the best way.
There you go. There you go. So we're going to run through some honorable mentions. Here's what I propose, Joseph, is the easiest to do. We both have probably more honorable mentions than we've ever had for an episode.
Yes.
Let's just kind of run through. I'll go first, you go through, and then we can kind of talk in general about some of them. So we're not here all day, because otherwise this could have been a top 50.
Yes, yes. Sounds good.
So there we go. So here we go. I'm going to Return of the Jedi. Your faith in your friends is yours. And that one, I mean, we're talking, I almost slipped it in as we were recording, because I just love a lot of that. But anyways, everything is proceeding exactly as I have foreseen, which is followed by the cackle. We'll talk about the cackle. The Phantom Menace, Dante Dauphine speaks up. Viceroy, I don't want this stunted slime in my sight again. From Empire, this is from the special edition version, but it also pops up in Rebels. Again, it's like a line. He just says things over and over. There is a great disturbance in the Force. We have a new enemy. Obviously referring to Luke Skywalker, the rebel that destroyed the Death Star, but also Kanan Jarrus. He says this in a hologram as well. Then we got Queen Amidala is young and naive. You will find controlling her will not be difficult. I love that line. Uh-huh. This one, so close to. Only through me can you achieve a power greater than any Jedi. And then, oh, God, so close. Return of the Jedi. You, like your father, are now mine. And then the final one. It counts because I have a T-shirt of it made by the great Brian Ward on his TeePublic site. It counts. My favorite Palpatine line that's not in a movie, show, or comic or book is roll it again. All right, a little bit, but we were there, Joseph. It was the Emperor talking to us.
It was. I am so, so happy and feel so very grateful that I got to be there for that moment. That Roll It Again is such a great idea to include, because it's truly one of the most joyful moments for me as a Star Wars fan ever. Hearing that cackle in the trailer and thinking, oh, it's got to be Palpatine. And then those lights coming up and seeing Ian McDiarmid there and the whole place going nuts, crying, weeping, and then perfect, because it's just like Palpatine. It was confirmation, it was meaningful, but it was so silly. Roll it again.
Love it. There we go. Those are my honorable mentions. What are yours, sir?
Your list is so great. It contains a lot of the kinds of moments that I wanted to highlight as well. Moments where Palpatine is just a jerk. Like, yeah. Your faith in your friends is yours. It's just such a, like, yeah, well, you have weaknesses too, jerk. And the other one I wanted to say, a real quick thing about, because I almost included it, is that everything is proceeding exactly as I have foreseen, followed by the cackle. I think is super important, because I think it's the line that fully establishes him as Dark Wizard, right? That he's got visions of the future, and that cackle is so like, yeah, this is what we're doing. We're not hiding from it. This is B-movie. He is an evil wizard, and he cackles.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Such a great cackle.
So you need it. So my runner-up, this is I don't think it's the most meaningful Palpatine line, but I had to have it because, honestly, is one of my very favorites, is I will make it legal. it's a basically a mission statement for him of like, not only am I a super powerful Darksider who can zap people with my fingers, but also I'm going to completely corrupt the actual legal system and make horrible things legal. And I love the sound mixing of his voice in holograms. There's something about it in Phantom Menace. His voice is extra creepy. I will make it legal. And then there are so many great moments outside of the movies. And I went and gave myself the treat of rewatching the end of the Clone Wars episode, The Lawless. It is an episode that we focus on a lot because, spoiler, if you haven't watched the Clone Wars, it's the episode where Maul kills Satine and expects Kenobi to break. But it's also the episode where Sidious leaves Coruscant and goes to Mandalore to handle Maul and Savage oppress himself. And it's just some great, great Sidious fighting and great Sidious lines, great Sidious moves. Maul asks for mercy, and Palpatine says, "There is no mercy." And great stuff. Give yourself a treat today. Watch Sidious beat the hell out of Maul and Savage Opress. Absolutely great. Very, very excited and eager to rewatch Rebels in particular, to get to the Sidious moments. I love a lot of the manipulation with Ezra. I love the playing with the cauldrons and the mysticism that happens in Clone Wars as well, but it's going on in Rebels. But the moment I wanted to pull out is the weird pronunciation of Ahsoka's name, where he says Ahsoka Tano.
Ian, can we do that take again?
No. I love it that it's just like, did he get it? Did Palpatine Sidious himself get it kind of wrong, or just not care? Who knows? Who knows? So I wanted to highlight that animated moment. This next chunk is lines that I like because they show this side of him being evil where he's just a petty a-hole. Like, yeah, what you just did and said is meaningful and evil, but it's also just like, you're a jerk. You're a guy I don't want to hang out with. If I know you're going to be at a party, I don't want to be there because you're a petty jerk.
Yeah.
And the first one of that is once I fell, so falls the last Skywalker. Just leaning into, I'm going to do to you what was done to me.
Yeah.
One of my other favorite bits of delivery from Return of the Jedi is because it is the change up in all of the kind of dark wizard stuff, is the, I'm afraid the deflector shield will be quite operational when your friends arrive. It's such a jerk line of like, oh, whoops. Are all your friends going to die? Oh, sorry.
Did I press that button that kills everybody?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. LOL. And then in that general vein, but also a little different, is the line in Revenge of the Sith of, I have waited a long time for this moment. And then the supremely drawn out, my little green friend, followed by just the relish. It's the payoff of that scene we're talking about with Mace, where he's really letting the mask fall. That now the mask is dropped and he just gets to enjoy it. And just the weird turn of phrase of, my little green friend. Yeah, beautiful. I got just a couple more. Keeping it moving. I really like this in Revenge of the Sith is when Rey is exploring, not Revenge of the Sith, excuse me, Rise of Skywalker. Rey is going into the Sith temple in Exegol, finding the throne, and we hear, long have I waited. And it sounds evil and ominous. And then, for my grandchild to come home. And there's a lot of great Sidious lines like this that sound really evil and then end a little nicer. And it's just like that manipulation that, and again, touching on that little bit of politician, dark wizard, but also a grandparent. I'm just a nice, sweet old man. Long have I waited. Oh, for you to come visit me. You don't come see me too often. I'm so happy you're here. Would you like a hard candy? It's so grandfatherly.
It's very Mr. Burns. It's the most Mr. Burns about and I do love it. And I love the use of long have I waited in the trailer. And I love seeing the context of it.
Yeah, yeah. Last two for me. The touching Vader's shoulder on Mustafar. I always love that because I don't think there is any great ability to love. I think that's more like he's bummed about his damaged prize. But it's a strangely tender motion, the way he just touches Vader's shoulder. And I like the ambiguity of it, of is there any possibility that there's, I mean, he's upset because his prize is damaged, but is there even any possibility of sadness or empathy? I mean, probably not, but I love that little bit of ambiguity. Yeah. And then my final one that's more a comment on him is, and I know this is super controversial, but clearly, like it, dislike it, feel ambiguous about it, the line, somehow Palpatine returned, is going to live on for a long time as a meme, as an idea. But I kind of like it because in a way it does encapsulate a lot of Palpatine, of just like, this evil that just keeps returning, and you're never sure of exactly what his plans are or how he's accomplishing things, but somehow Palpatine returns.
Yeah, there you go. A line about Palpy.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of things. I'm afraid that a deflector shield would be quite operational. It just takes me back to my Jedi Alliance days. Maude Garrett loved that line and just loved just the, oh, bummer, I should have. If you wanted to get Maude laughing, all you had to do was start to say that line. Giggling over. Oh, bummer, I should have. And yeah, it was one of those lines as a kid, too. It just stung. It is kind of this like, because the guy thinks I've foreseen it all. Nothing can stop me. I'm ahead of the game. And, he just can't get around compassion and empathy and all those things that Luke's got going on and that Luke chooses. So I love that there. Yeah, no, great list. And yeah, I was watching some clips, and my little green friend is a delicious little addition to the line. Cause I had to sit in meetings with you, stupid little jarbled speech. And I had you were so close maybe to discovering who I was. And oh, I just hated you. I just hated you. Now I get to say it. just like an episode of The Office or something.
Yeah, it really is. Michael Scott gets to punch Toby.
Yeah. Just there. So
yeah. Ah,
great stuff.
Yeah. Can I ask you, how are you feeling these days about the somehow Palpatine returned? Like, I get why people target it because it really underlines the, like, hey, we're not going to delve too deeply into how he returned. We don't think that's an important part of the story. We want to concentrate on who he is and what he wants. So I get that people can, that's a line that underlines the decision to not focus on how he returned. So I understand why people target it, but how do you feel about it?
I think the line itself and the moment, I'm not even saying that could have been a different line or executed differently. I just was watching Rise this past week, and I totally see. It's like I have some of the stuff on Canto Bight that I love Canto Bight, but I don't like little moments of execution. But every one of those movies has them, right? Truly, deeply love you and everything. It's a little bit of that for me, but it puts me in a weird spot. We at Force Center try to welcome all are welcome here in the halls of Force Center. Come on in. Let's have a discussion. Our Discord server is full of a lot of people who just love Star Wars, but also are drawn to little bits here and there that are other people aren't drawn to. And there are some discussions, and it's all friendly, and it's all at the end of the day. But man, isn't this stuff great? And I know you and I share that. Jennifer shares that. So I understand it. But this particular sequence or people's reaction to it, I just had it the other day, man. A friend of mine came by, mask on, came to drop something off. And I used to work with him in wrestling. We don't talk often. He's a Star Wars fan, but he's been very vocal to the point where I muted him on Facebook.
Oh, wow.
Of the sequel movies. And he's in Hollywood. He produces things. So he's not like, I don't mean that if you're outside of Hollywood, you can't appreciate these movies. But he knows how some of these work. He knows how some of these movies work. And he's still kind of like, hey, this website, we got this covered, said. And I'm like, dude, no. But he talked about this, and he said, it's such bad storytelling to not explain why it comes back. And I just like, it's not that I want to fight that. I understand that from a technical standpoint, but I'm like, but I can explain it. And here's how, and here's the contingency plan, and here's him throwing himself into it. Here's what he said in Revenge of the Sith. Here's what Beaumont Ken said. It's there. Now I know. Not all of you are reading the comics. Not all of you are reading the books. My dad's not. Your mom's not. Anyone who's watching these movies, I get it. So that's why it puts me in a weird spot where in that particular moment, I just had to go, oh, yeah, okay, I see your point. And it does come back to that scene. And I think, and I don't have any fault with, again, don't have fault with the line, anything. I understand watching that where if there was a little bit more, I don't know. But I also, we joke about Beaumont Ken because he literally says it.
He lists all of the parts needed it's like he lists all the ingredients that go in a taco, but then he doesn't say so it was a taco. That's how he lists.
Yeah.
And then all the things,
the gothic horror beginning is, you know, I am every voice you've heard inside your head. Okay, cool. That's an answer. Like it or not, there's an answer. And then Kylo looks around and there's a bunch of weird dudes working on things, and there's Snoke bodies in formaldehyde.
I like it. I think he has fermented. I think he is making the Snoke booze out of that vat of Snoke.
And then again, what we did, just the description of when you see Palpatine, you know, I defeated death. Did you? Did you? Because I could see your femur. It's coming out of your leg. Like, you don't even have legs, you know. Deeper discussion. I understand it. You and I try really hard. I just think there's a difference between you didn't like it and you're choosing not to dig into a little bit more of the why of the moment, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes
frustrates me.
Yeah, no, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. That makes perfect sense to me. And again, for people who feel like it was really necessary to clearly lay out narratively how Palpatine returned, I get that Poe's line underlines the fact that we're not going to tell that story. It is a line that says, don't look over there because that's not where we're going. So I get that. But I do also like it because there is something about that in Beaumont Kin's listing of ingredients of, secrets only the Sith knew, cloning, dark science. There's a little bit of B movie to it. And I feel like Palpatine represents that as I've been saying in this episode. He is a little bit of that. That's his energy, that he is meaningful and this great philosophical idea, but also this weird dark wizard. And I also like that it makes sense to me that this meeting of a resistance crew who believes in the Force, knows, you know, saw Luke, have seen Rey do stuff, like, yeah, the Force. But even for them, like, who is this guy? What is? We've heard rumors that he's this weird dark wizard. He projected his soul into a weird vat. What the hell are you talking about? The fact that they can't even wrap their heads around it. Even if Beaumont Kin like pulled out, you know, a hollow sheet and was like pointed at it, is like, okay, so when his body exploded, he sent his soul. And that projection was similar to Luke. Like they'd still be like, the hell are you talking about, Beaumont Kin?
Yeah. And yeah, again, you and I have discussed off air, just the desire for everything to be explained. Otherwise it's a plot hole that takes down the movie, is something that bothers me. But I think there's some, you know, I don't know. Everyone cites the example of, hey, Return of the Jedi, you know, yes, Empire Strikes Back, you see, but Return of the Jedi, he's just kind of there, right? He shows up. Cool. Third act. I'm your hero. I'm your villain. He was mentioned before, but I don't know, how did the Eye of Sauron return? You know, the ring wants to find its way back to its owner. How? It's a ring. I don't know. I've never gotten really caught up on that kind of stuff. And so that's why I get it. It puts me into a weird spot where I just want to be very accepting about everyone's opinions, but also want to be like, well, okay, I can give you that answer. Do you want it? I don't think you want it.
Yeah. Yeah,
I just think you want to yell, in case of emergency, break glass. That's why Palpatine's there. And if that's that, that's fine. That's fine. And we're done here.
Yeah, a valid opinion, and everybody's entitled to their opinion. Thank you for taking that detour, because I found myself wanting to include it, but knowing that it is a very sensitive line. So thank you for the thoughtful discussion. There's something about it to me, good, bad, like it, don't like it. That's just got the heart, the weird, evil B movie, but deep, mysterious, complex heart of Palpatine in that line.
Yeah. No. Pleasure to go down that discussion point. By the way, if I've offended you, you can write us at Force Center, and I'll apologize. on that note, we are going to get to our number one choices for the best Palpatine lines. I'll go first, my number one. So the Joseph can close the show with his number one. I am going to Return the Jedi to that throne room scene. The one that just, man, it's the best, and it establishes so much. And it's just the best. That's all the words I have. It's the best. I'm going to the moment. God, that long and hard. I go, what is it? What's the Palpatine moment? What do I like to say? What do I like to feel when I watch it? What does it make me feel? What does it move me? Does it scare me? Is it part of the bigger picture, part of the bigger story? I went with, so be it, Jedi. Boom. Lightning blast right into Luke's face on his teeth, which used to freak me out as a kid, seeing on his teeth. And it sets up the final. It's the final moment. And again, going to, it's a serious version of My Little Green Friend. It's a continuation of Are You Threatening Me, Master Jedi? And No One Can Stop the Sith. These are the base level goals and wants and desires and hates and dislikes of Palpatine. And he despises these Jedi. He hates them. And to hang it over Luke with this taunting, evil, petty, but just, there's consequences for what you want to be. You want that? You got it. Jedi, you're going to die for it. And I love it as one of just a final kind of dig from Palpatine as his destruction begins. And I include Rise of Skywalker in that. He's never the same from on. He doesn't jump into a great clone.
Nope.
His life, it's an all from this point on. It's about can't let go, wanting everything, but it's just pure evil energy. So I love this moment. It is one of the last big Sheev Palpatine. My life led me to this. Oh, you want to be a Jedi? Great. I'm going to give you what you want, and I'm going to kill you slowly and painfully. So be it, Jedi.
Oh, that's great. That is such a great line. It's great delivery. There's that little bit of kind of uptick in tempo on Jedi. So be it, Jedi. It's kind of matter of fact for the way he's been the rest of the scene. So it's a little even more frightening because it is just like, all right, no more manipulations, no more nothing. That's what you want. That's what you get, exactly as you're saying. But it also just, it speaks to his character. If he's done all these twists and turns and plots, he has to know that Vader's kind of trying to get Luke on his side, turn Luke into his apprentice, and then maybe they're going to come for him. Palpatine's got to know that's a possibility. It's the way of the Sith. But they're both, Vader and Palpatine are both doing this dance around each other. Like, well, maybe we could turn him. There'll be three of us now, and we'll get rid of the rule of two, maybe. Or is it that absolutely Palpatine all along wants Vader's, you know, old and broken, and he wants this new apprentice. And now with the Rise of Skywalker, is it even that Palpatine literally does want Luke to strike him down so Palpatine can possess Luke's young, healthy Jedi body? He wants all these possibilities.
Yeah.
But then Luke throws down that blade, says that from Palpatine's perspective, that high and mighty, selfless pacifism, naive, dumb, stupid, ignorant way to look at the world, and you want to pat yourself on the back for it. All right, I don't need any of those things. They would have been nice, but so be it, Jedi. I was looking at these other options, but the option for me where I kill you and hold on to my power, that's fine too. So be it, Jedi. So be it to everything you represent.
Father, please.
No. My teeth.
My teeth.
This isn't right.
Love it. That is my number one, which means we're up to your number one and the final submission here on the best Palpatine lines ever.
Yes. And my number one, there are many lines I love, but I just felt this had to be it because it is the absolute truth of Palpatine, and that is unlimited power. Oh my gosh, it is so over the top, right? But it's the truth, you know, and it's one of those moments where it's totally enjoyable by itself because it is so over the top. It is the unleashing of the lightning. It is the full reveal of the face, basically, and it ends in that weird, satisfied sigh that I like so much when his head rolls back. But it is in some ways it is so Palpatine because it is just the simple truth of what the Sith want. You know, go back to kind of our beginning of talking about everything. Unlimited power. That's what he wants. He's already the Supreme Chancellor of the Galactic Republic. He's already got a ton of power. He's already controlling a bunch of stuff, but he wants to be able to kind of unmask himself and just have total unlimited power. He wants everything. And this is him just shouting his absolute mission statement as a Sith of I don't have to pretend anymore about anything. I can just have everything that I want. And what I want is everything. And then, so it tracks. It makes a lot of sense. But then there's the sort of real world side of it that it is hugely over the top. In Ian McDiarmid, I watched a one-on-one panel with him. I can't remember what year it is, but a very recent Star Wars celebration. Not the one in Chicago, but I believe the one before that, where he is recounting, and I'm sure he does many other places, the great story of doing that, where he kept doing it. And he normally doesn't get many notes from George. He just goes and he's evil, and George doesn't give a lot of notes, and he does unlimited power, and George is like, maybe more. And he does it, Ian McDiarmid, like, okay, I've now gone as high as I possibly could. That's big enough for you, right? And George is like, no. More. And to the point where Ian McDiarmid's like, I need to do what my actor requests that I do. I am slightly concerned that I will never work again, but I do what I'm asked and I take it as big as I possibly can. And it's a funny, charming behind the scenes story, but to know George Lucas, Mr. Never Talked to the Actors during the prequels, by his own admission, this is so important to him that this is the truth of the Sith. And I don't care if it plays as a B movie. I don't care if it plays over the top. This is the total unmasked truth of the villain of Star Wars. That's all he's about. That's all he wants is unlimited power shouted as blatantly and loudly as possible.
Just over the top is the way to describe it, and it's earned. Not that, again, this is that weird spot. We're not sitting here heaping a bunch of respect on Palpatine, but there's been a lot of people probably in this galaxy, a lot of them going back to those times we haven't even heard about yet officially in canon, and this is what they wanted. And maybe they got a slice of it, maybe they got a piece of it. But in this moment, Palpatine believes that he has got what he's always wanted, which is unlimited power. So in a way, you're like, all right, man, respect. You did it. You did it, including in this very moment. You got your new apprentice. You got everything you need. And wow, take it, man. Take your moment. Take your bow. And that's what I think. And to hear George talk about what dark side is and greed and the pathway to it, and it all is about power. I could see why George would unbutton a top button on that flannel and really get into the nitty gritty with Palpatine about it. Like, oh no, let's do it again. Let's do it again. Unlimited power. I think it's great. And it works as a meme. It works as a funny quote. It works with some, maybe a little unintentional comedy. I get all that, but over time, this has grown into just a, it is the biggest moment. It is him. It's what he thought he earned. It's what he wanted, and what he actually for a while had.
That is exactly right. Big Palpatine Sidious face out there with unlimited power.
Yeah. It's just a word, but I think we can't not mention henceforth. it is what it is. I was trying to queue up here. Thank you, Disney Plus, for making it possible, but I'm now lost in Kashyyyk.
You're trying to find unlimited power or henceforth?
Unlimited power, but it popped up, and now I'm just going to, if I press play, it'll just be a bunch of clips of the Wookiees fighting.
Random Wookiees, yeah.
So we'll have to just hear them laugh. Joseph, thank you so much for your list. I know we both just love this character. We love Ian McDiarmid. We love what he represents. We love his place in the story. We love, like you said, loving to root against him, and hopefully learning from some of the moments and how maybe we can avoid some of the paths that he wants you to go down. So Palpatine is an important character. He is the big E in Star Wars, capital evil, and every line just backs it up. What a fun show. Thanks again, Joseph.
Oh, yeah. Thank you absolutely for having me. I just delight in it because his delivery is so good. All of his themes are so fascinating. And you're right. I'm so glad that you brought it back to let's learn the lesson of Sheev. Sheev wants us to give in to our fear so he can have unlimited power. And I'm going to try not to give in to my fear and just really, really upset Sheev Palpatine, Darth Sidious, so I can hear him get upset and go, no.
Thank you all for listening today. This episode of Star Wars Ranked. We appreciate it. If you want to join the conversation, you can follow us on Twitter at Force Center Pod. Use the hashtag Star Wars Ranked. Just tweet us all the Palpatine memes you want and need. You can like us on Facebook or on Instagram, YouTube as well. Merchandise is available at tpublic.com/ForceCenter. tpublic.com/user/ForceCenter. I always forget that. You can support us on Patreon, patreon.com/ForceCenter. Your support helps cool things happen, like the theme music here for Star Wars Ranked, made by the great Tony Thaxton. We got our own things as well. You can follow me at Cad Knapsack for all the latest on all the things I do. You can go to josephscrimshaw.com to find out all the things he does as well. We appreciate your support here, and we'll be back for more Force Center programming. Big week ahead. If you're listening in chronological order of Force Center, some of you might jump around like the Clone Wars series. That is it for this week. Star Wars has been ranked.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.